1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 2 days until Election Day. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning in Detroit, going to church this Sunday, speaking at the congregation at Greater Emmanuel Institutional Church of God in Christ.
Church, in just 2 days, we have the power to decide the fate of our nation for generations to come.
At his rally in Lititz, Pennsylvania today, former President Trump with the press corps nearby, Trump talking about using reporters as human shields.
To get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much.
Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi reacting today, telling MSNBC, quote, I think that what the ex-president just said is further indication of his cognitive degeneration, her words. The Israeli military today said it carried out a ground raid into Syria, seizing a Syrian citizen involved in Iranian networks. This is ABC News. New York City is experiencing its second longest dry streak in the city's history. Records date back to 1869. The city's mayor announcing steps to adapt.
Mayor Eric Adams issuing a drought watch, calling on city agencies and residents to find ways to conserve water. He says Mother Nature is in charge and it's up to everyone to do their part.
Something simple as not having the water run while we brush our teeth and other ways of ensuring we're not watering the lawn too frequently.
The U.S. Drought Monitor says areas of New York and New Jersey are either experiencing abnormally dry, moderate dry, or severe drought. Michelle Franzen, ABC News, New York.
Iranian-American journalist Reza Vallezadeh is reportedly detained in Iran as the U.S. works to verify his case amid heightened regional tensions. Iran has yet to confirm his detention. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's voter ID law can be a nightmare for college students. They can use their student ID, but only if it's compliant with state rules, and most aren't. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
On some campuses, students need to request a special ID that includes their photo, legal name, signature, issuing date, and expiration date. Kristen Hansen with Common Cause in Wisconsin works with college students to help them vote. She says state law just makes it difficult.
This is one of the things that is a mystery, is a school already knows the student is who they say they are. They've already provided identification to the school. And so the ID that the school gives should be enough without all this other nonsense attached to it.
Hansen says another challenge for students is providing proof of residency, as some can change addresses every year they're enrolled. Meanwhile, out-of-state students face additional hurdles in registering to vote. Molly Ford, an out-of-state senior at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is very familiar with these hurdles. This is her first time voting in a presidential election, but she voted in the state's general election 2 years ago. She says she almost missed one of her class finals because she had to run back to her dorm to get a document after having already stood in line.
My friend that was in the class was like, "You're crazy. I would have just not done that." And I was like, "Well, it was important to me to vote in this election.
Ford says although her school has been proactive about promoting the student vote, it would be helpful to know more about what exactly is needed to cast a ballot. You can get that information online at myvote.wi.gov. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A soggy Sunday on the way as showers move in. Highs in the middle 50s, gusty southeast winds, up around 20 and 25. For tonight, showers, lows in the lower 50s. More shower chances on Monday, highs in the mid-60s.
Right now, it's 51.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former 2nd District Congressman Republican Scott Klug and former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. Your vote will help save democracy. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. This city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local here in downtown Green Bay. This is the show that does what it says. We talk about what's going on locally here, and that's not to say we're not interested in what's going on nationally or statewide, but a lot of that's covered by our national media and our local media. But to drill down on what's going on in the greater community of Green Bay here, that's what this show does. And as those of you who are regular listeners, you know, on the first Sunday of every month, we focus our energies on the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers. We're not all about the Packers, but boy, that's a local asset that we have here and something I like to talk about. But I set it aside for the first Sunday of the month, and we're doing that today. And we've had, you know, those of you who've tuned in, we've had Aaron Popke on here. We've had, you know, the Discovery Green Bay on here just talking about this NFL draft. But finally, I got the guy I wanted in here. Rich Ryman, who anybody who knows how to read knows this guy. He's been writing for the Press Gazette for over 25 years. He's won a gazillion different awards for his writing. And about 10, 11 years ago, the Press Gazette wanted him to just focus solely on the Green Bay Packer organization and really the non-football operations. I mean, I don't know what you know about football, Rich, but I mean, you do a great job of covering it. And he's in the paper every day. I mean, even this week I was reading a couple articles about that you've written. Everything from the statues to the lease to the draft to what the coaches are selling their homes for. I mean, you cover it all. And yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
Yes. We used to spend some time together.
A little bit.
Rich covered the business of the city of Green Bay. And when I was mayor, he would come in often and nosing around for what we were working on. So
we're a little more friendly now.
I just wasn't like we weren't friendly. I just, you know, didn't want to tell you everything because I wasn't sure. How's things going? How do you like this Packer gig?
It's a good gig. It's probably the best job in the NFL, at least for, you know, non-sports writer.
Yeah. And there's so much going on.
The 10 years ago that we started doing this was good timing because the Packers had just started building things everywhere. So there was a lot of business stuff. But now with the draft going on and the lease arguments and all of that and them having a pretty good year, there's a ton of stuff.
So let's talk about that. And there's so many things that I want to kind of try to stay on track here. But in terms of having a pretty good year, they're having a great year, right? I mean, the revenue was over $600 million. And that's right. Pretty good. They made over $60 million profit. That's pretty good. 10% going to the bottom line. And they're using that money, I mean, they have to pay the team, the players, and I don't know what the salary cap is, $225 million, but they have some money to expand their operations outside of football.
They do. The TV contracts covered the players' expenses and had some left over.
Yeah, I think I want to hear from you. I don't mean to interrupt. It was $400 million they got from the TV contract, and I think they have that cap and collar. And I think the salary cap is not $300 million. So
no,
it's nice to have $100 million of profit guaranteed.
Yeah, they come out ahead, even if they don't do anything right. at all.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, they made $60 million profit. And I've always argued that with the Packers, how much profit they make is really not of consequence. It's really how much revenue they bring in, because they don't pay dividends. They don't have to put any money outside of the organization. Right. So profit can be whatever they want it right. to be.
Because it's internal. Whereas
it could be a dollar and they'd still be ahead. As long as they're using all that money for stuff right. they need.
And are they, my experience with the Packers, and they were a great partner. And we've been talking on this, this Mayor and the Minor show about, you learn in school, in business school, government school, to build these power wheels. And if you really want to get something done, like in the city of Green Bay, the power wheel, like the convention center, you really want to get the Oneidas on board. You want to get the Packers on board, the Chamber. It's nice to have them on board. And you get this stuff, and it's just so much easier to get done. Dealing with the Packers, there wasn't always the easiest about getting information. And do you have an inside track there? Is it pretty much the same?
Because it's always a challenge. We've always said the Packers are better than organized crime at keeping things quiet.
Yeah, I mean, actually dealing with those guys like dealing with the mafia, yeah. right?
Because if you want to keep working for the Packers, if you're an employee, or if you want to be on good terms with the Packers, you don't talk about things they tell you not to talk about.
Right.
So it's always a challenge.
However, if there's someone who has got the inside track, it would be you. Do you have an office there?
The paper has an office there. I don't.
You work for the paper. They have an office there. Nobody from the paper works over there except you, so I think you have an office there.
Well, the sports guys use it probably more than I do.
I see. Okay, that's right. The
press gazette. But it's a good place to hang out on game days.
I bet. So the Packers, I want to get back to this NFL draft, but before I do, even without the draft, these guys they've been doing quite well over the last 10 years. There was a time where, wasn't there a time back in 2002, 3 that it was like, oof, are these guys going to make it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Bob Harlan pushed the stadium renovation for that very reason. They had done their projections, and their projections told them that within, I forget the exact number, maybe 5 years, they're going to be out of money. They needed much more than just a stadium that they could use 10 days a week. Now, that worked. I mean, the stadium is used now practically every day of the year, for one thing or another. But they also coincided with the NFL's exploding TV contracts. So that didn't, you know, that plays a big part in all of this, too.
Well, the most significant.
Right. It's the biggest source of income they have.
Oh. Pretty cool, the NFL. And I know, you know, you look at what's going on in baseball right now. I mean, the two wealthiest teams are in the World Series. And, I mean, they would love to have that. I think they would love to have the same deal that the Packers had, this whole revenue sharing, cap and collar, expenses and revenues. And I think even though we are by far the smallest market, right?
Absolutely. Jacksonville, I think, is next, and they're like double our size.
Right. And I think that's great because I do think, you know, these smaller markets, and I'm glad they protected that. You've written a ton of stories on the Packers, and I want to get to the NFL draft, but I'm going to do that after the break. I want to talk about some of your other stories that I read your stuff all the time. I really do, Rich, even more than I did when you covered me. I wrote you an email one time. You don't remember this, but you go so far as to cover coaches when they sell their homes.
Yep. And players.
And I remember Adrian, I said, Rich, come on, who cares? And I think you wrote back and said, you wouldn't believe the number of clicks we get on that.
It's huge. Our readers want that stuff. I mean, it's a variety of things. We treat it as a business story. It is, you know, real right. estate sales are business stories. And if you look at houses in whatever category that these are in, whether it's $1 million or 500,000, it gives you a view into how the houses in that area are doing in this market. So it's a business story in that respect. You know, how long have they been on the market? That is a business story. Yeah. But also it's lifestyles of the rich and famous. Let's be serious. You know, fans love to read the stories. More so, they love to look at the photos.
Yeah.
Because they get to see what these houses look like.
Speaking of real estate, they buy real estate, these Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And where do you get that information? Because you seem to be a little bit ahead of it.
Well, it's all public record. For instance, when they bought Green Bay Distillery last week,
right?
That was filed on a statewide report, which one of my colleagues at the Journal Sentinel keeps a close eye on. So if he happens to see something like that, he'll let me know. Otherwise, you know, social media is another place where you'll see somebody say, hey, the Packers just bought whatever. Sometimes they haven't yet. They're talking because they've heard something from somebody. But it all shows up eventually in right. the Brown County land records.
Eventually it will. It seems like you are the first to report that.
Well, I try to stay on top of it.
I think you do a pretty good job. When it comes to that, and they say, well, we're not going to change anything. We're going to buy this gas station. But it's still going to stay a gas station. We're going to buy this. Still, but there's got to be a master plan behind those acquisitions.
Yeah, I would think so. But that's one of those things where getting them to tell you before they're ready to, they just are not going to do that. You know, for now, they say, well, it just gives us flexibility.
Right.
Well, it certainly does. I mean, they've almost got all of Mike McCarthy Way, you know, right across from the right. Ray Nitschke Field and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what they plan on doing with that, but they don't want anybody else to own it either, I think.
Do you think it's going to be, and they haven't really shared, but you look at the Cowboys. They practice up in Frisco, in Dallas. They don't really, their training facility is used for soccer. It's unbelievable what they have there. I mean, it's like, I'm just wondering, but you don't know anything more than I do on what their plans are long term for this land.
Not long term. I have heard, and this is just rumor, that they considered one time building like a new Don Hudson Center kind of facility,
right,
south of the stadium, where if you're a regular Packers fan, Lot 9 and Lot 10 are, which is that grassy area across yeah. from the parking lot. They've never told me that, but certainly they own enough land there now. They could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah. Interesting to see the business side of it. And one of the biggest things on the business side is the NFL draft. And how we got that, I just think, is just a coup. And I want to talk your thoughts on that and where you think that's all going to go here in the Greater Green Bay Committee. We are talking with Rich Ryman, the writer of the Green Bay Press Gazette, who is focused 100% on the Green Bay Packers and especially the non-football, more the business side of it, which is very interesting. And we're going to be right back, talk a little bit more about the business side of the Packers as well as the NFL draft that's coming up. Stick around, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Dreamer, baby, if I stopped, it would make the show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we have in-house Richard Ryman from the Green Bay Press Gazette, who has been with the Press Gazette for a long time, covering the business side of the greater Green Bay community and many other things. And really, the last 10, 12 years has been focused solely on the business side of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, Rich, when you look at the Green Bay Packers, revenue, $600 million, that's real. That's a good number. You look out the window, those guys are like $6 billion. KI is a billion. There's a lot of companies bigger than the Green Bay Packers, yet nobody carries the clout of the Green Bay Packers.
None of those companies are on TV 17 Sundays a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, you know, a huge part of it. And the Packers are just so interwoven into the culture of Green Bay that you know, Schreiber, you know, everybody knows Schreiber, they know Schneider, but the Packers are the Packers.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you look at that. And Schneider, that's a good example. I mean, huge company, and orange trucks are all over the United States. I mean, it's the largest, you know, trucking world in the free world, largest trucking company in the free world. Yet, all over the world, and I mean all over the world, you can go to Kuwait, Jerusalem, you tell you from Green Bay, and they know the Packers. I tell you what, I had no idea they were that well known. I'm not kidding you. And that was what, 2002, 2003. Just the footprint they have.
I was in London for the game there 2 years ago, and on the Saturday before that game, when people across Europe, you know, it was their weekend too. I talked to Packers fans from practically every country in Europe that day.
I mean, they knew the Packers.
Oh, they know. Some of them know more about the Packers than Packers fans here, because they have to work harder to be Packers fans. So they've learned all of this stuff recently.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very respectful place, but it's also a pretty powerful place too, you know, in terms of the reach that they have.
And
What I like about the Packers, and maybe you've traveled more internationally with the Packers than I have, but when people hear about Green Bay, they think good things, don't they?
Oh, yeah. The Packers, particularly, you'll hear this from South American fans or European fans. One of the reasons that they decided they wanted to be Packers fans is because the structure of ownership is a lot more like their soccer clubs.
Yeah.
And that they're community-owned or fan-owned or whatever, but there's not a billionaire owner. And that seems to resonate with fans from the other countries. And American fans, too.
And I think we're a small community. I still think they still see us as a lot of church steeples and smokestacks. And
we're quaint, and right. It's and in a good way.
I remember back in the day when John Madden would cover the Packers, and they would do the cutaways, you know, before a commercial, and they'd have this, like, cow in the field. And I didn't like that, right? I'm trying to rebuild our downtown. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think people lean into that quaintness.
They do. I mean, all of those things that they, I think, envision as being Wisconsin, when they see a brief clip on a national game, that reinforces that. They like it.
It does, man. Okay. You take everything that's happened, the community owned and actually the financial success, the quaintness. You got a real coup with this NFL draft.
It's a big deal. The Packers pursued it with, you know, determination. Mark Murphy really wanted this, and he's got contacts and friends at the NFL. But even at that, it took him 5-6 years before the NFL agreed.
Right.
You know, the NFL is probably as political a body as there is in the world. And for the Packers to navigate those politics and eventually get it here, that it may never happen again, but we'll get it once.
And there are some people, I'm not one of them, but can we do this?
I think so. I mean, for one, the NFL is going to be in charge of this. It's their draft, and they make all the rules, for better or worse, and from my standpoint of covering it, probably worse, but because they control everything. But they're going to set it up. They're going to determine the breadth of it. They're going to make everything work. So to that extent, we're benefiting because we don't have to do it, except provide some of the money and a lot of the workers.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, and it's true what you just said. Aaron Popke was a guest on the show 2 months ago and was very clear to tell us that this was an NFL program. And here's the guy that, you know, he's way up there in the organizational chart and kind of acquiesced that, you know, they're in charge and we're going to work with them.
Takes a lot of the risk out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the other risk is how many people are going to show up. And I don't think we have to worry about that. This is the draft and it's not had any problem attracting people.
So the number's around 250, right? That's the number you read about. I think you even reported that.
The way they count it matters. It's every time you go into the NFL's footprint where you have to go through the scanners and whatever, they count you. I could get counted 5 times in a day because I, you know, in and out, in and out. So it's not going to be like 250,000 unique individuals necessarily. It could be 80,000 people, the same 80,000 people 3 days in a row.
That wasn't my understanding. I thought that when they used the estimates of 500, 750, it's like, okay, now that's the double, triple counting because they're coming to it, but that they thought there were going to be 250,000 bodies here. You're not hearing that?
Well, it was explained to me the other way.
Okay.
And I hope I'm right.
Do I hope you're right? I think I love challenges like that. I think there's, I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. I just think there's a lot of opportunity for people to do a lot of things. And you're going to be covering, I just want to talk about the business side of the NFL draft. I mean, it's going to be great. People are going to be, you know, so-and-so from this team is going to get drafted. And I couldn't tell you 3 people who are going to be drafted, but I can tell you 3 people who are going to make a hell of a lot of money. And I think that's pretty cool.
And, you know, and we can talk about this. I think we've got a break coming up, but we can talk about this after too. There's a certain restriction as to how many people are going to be able to get here on a given day. And it's hotel rooms and distances right. And stuff. So we can talk about that too.
Are you surprised? Let me just ask you, a guy who covered the Packers for 25 years and really the last 12, are you surprised we got the draft?
Not really, only because the Packers kept telling me that they were very confident we would get it. And I've dealt with them enough to know when they talk to me like that.
It's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Have they told you they're going to win the Super Bowl? All right. Hey, we're here with Rich Ryman. We're talking the business side of the Green Bay Packers. Really going to focus our next segment on the NFL and some of the economic opportunities for greater Green Bay, as well as you as listeners. So maybe we can lean into this too. Stick around. Lean Local, Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 2 days until Election Day. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning in Detroit, going to church this Sunday, speaking at the congregation at Greater Emmanuel Institutional Church of God in Christ.
Church, in just 2 days, we have the power to decide the fate of our nation for generations to come.
At his rally in Lititz, Pennsylvania today, former President Trump with the press corps nearby, Trump talking about using reporters as human shields.
To get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much.
Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi reacting today, telling MSNBC, quote, I think that what the ex-president just said is further indication of his cognitive degeneration, her words. The Israeli military today said it carried out a ground raid into Syria, seizing a Syrian citizen involved in Iranian networks. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Badgers lose to the Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost to the Hawkeyes on a rainy night in Iowa City. The final 42-10 in favor of Iowa. Wisconsin heads into a bye week with a record of 5-4. Baseball, the Brewers making roster moves. Starting pitcher Freddie Peralta will be back next season, but right-hander Colin Ray and catcher Gary Sanchez will not. NBA, the Bucks hoping to snap their losing streak at home, but lost to the Cavaliers, 114-113. The Bucks are now 1-5. Giannis on what went wrong.
Oh, it comes to the little things. I think there was a lot of possession. We got to figure out the ways to play faster, get more shots up, get some second chances, dive on the ball, get some extra possessions. But I'm happy, you know, with the threes that we shot. We shot 38 threes. Last game, we shot 42 threes. This game, 38 threes. We got to keep on keeping that number up just to give ourselves a chance to win the game. That's pretty much it.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A soggy Sunday on the way as showers move in. Highs in the middle 50s, gusty southeast winds, up around 20 and 25. For tonight, showers, lows in the lower 50s. More shower chances on Monday, highs in the mid-60s.
Right now, it's 51.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture. They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
The kick is up and wide left.
Why don't they customize the goalposts? Make them wider.
Gina Della from Pella, how'd you get into the booth?
And why just yellow? Add some green stripes.
Sure, Gina. Should they also remove the G at midfield and paint a Pella crest?
Okay, Wayne, you can't customize a football game to go the way you want, but Pella can customize your home the way you want.
Right now, get 0% interest for 60 months.
Visit PellaWI.com.
Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Certain restrictions apply.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on Rock and Roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Lean Local. This is the first Sunday of the month, and as those of you who listen regularly, the first Sunday of the month we dedicate toward the NFL draft and Green Bay Packers. There's so much more going on here locally, but that is a huge part of our area, of our economy, and of our future. And we brought in today someone who I've been wanting to get on the show for some time, Rich Ryman. And Rich Ryman has been with the Press-Gazette for over 25 years. Really 10, 11, 12 years ago, they focused his energy 100% on the Green Bay Packers. And he says he doesn't have an office there, but he's there every day. And covers the Packers non-football operations. And there's so much going on. As Rich said earlier, you know, by far the smallest market, yet a team that's profitable and is making money and continues to grow their non-football operations. And any good business would do that, right? I mean, yep. You got to diversify your products.
Well, like their purchase this week of Green Bay Distillery, they wouldn't say how long the lease is for, but I'm guessing the guy that owns Green Bay Distillery wouldn't have sold it unless he got a guaranteed deal for a good long time.
Right.
If the NFL goes on strike or has a lockout, the Packers are still going to have income,
right,
from Green Bay Distillery or those businesses in Titletown and stuff. That just makes sense.
It really does. And I don't know what the future holds. They rely very heavily right now on TV revenue. I mean, that's 75% of their income.
They'd be in trouble without TV revenue and then without profit sharing.
Right.
Or revenue sharing.
Revenue sharing, say. Yeah.
You know, Bob Harlan and John Underwood always used to say that was part of the three things they needed was revenue sharing and a salary cap. And I can't remember what the third one was,
right,
but probably TV revenue. I mean, those things made the Packers competitive.
As a fan and as someone, and you're both, you cover the Packers and you're a fan. You've been a fan forever with these guys. Are you surprised at some of these contracts you read, these salary contracts? Do you ever think to yourself, is this sustainable? I mean, is the bottom going to fall out of this, or can we do this?
You know, contracts are not something I know as much about. Sometimes they seem pretty unsustainable. I mean, Deshaun Watson went into a territory that nobody's right, been in before, but you notice nobody followed so far either.
Yeah.
And some of these contracts are huge, but then there's also tends to be ways to get out of them sometimes.
Yeah.
The numbers are big, and they for the players, it's right, part of their self-worth, I guess, to have a good contract. But the money doesn't always equate to what it sounds like.
That's just interesting. And it hasn't been really that long. We were a little bit older, you know, Kyle, who's sitting in with us, and but when you look at that, Bart Starr's last contract, and I know Bart Starr's gone, but his last contract that Bob Harlan signed him to was $100,000.
I remember when Pete Rose was the first $100,000 single hitter, and people were appalled.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Con, can you believe that? I mean, that's what we're paying you. It's just crazy. And now these guys are, you know, $42 million, $50
million. I've always said I would have been Brett Favre's backup. Happily for $1 million,
right,
you know, they just save money, and I would have never had to do anything.
But even with those salaries, and you think, oh my God, how can they afford it? A lot of people have said they wouldn't pay it if they couldn't afford it.
Right.
So, you know, the money's there.
As long as the TV contracts keep increasing, right, and as we say TV contracts, but it's also streaming now. Yeah. And I mean, there's just all kinds of different ways to get that money in. Yeah.
And I just hope we can keep people in the stadium, but the Packers don't have that problem, do they?
No, not. I mean, people are surprised. We are the smallest market. We have the third largest stadium in the NFL,
yeah,
as far as capacity goes.
Right.
and we fill it up. And they have a waiting list of more than 150,000 people who want tickets. It'd be, you know, be great to be in that position.
Oh, man. You did a story one time. I want to get to the draft. We have a little bit of time, but you did a story one time, the standing room tickets. Did those work? Did that sell?
This year they offered standing room for every game, every home game. And you see them, the Packers say that the tickets are not for resale because they don't want them going to opposing fans. But if you look on the secondary market, they pop up at several of the places.
I think that's cool that you report on ticket sale prices and kind of game by game.
I do every week. It's not a hard number, but I do it the same way every week. So you can use that as a comparison to kind of see what the market is. And I use the get-in price, the average get-in price, because it's the only one that
really matters.
That is consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, the higher, it's all higher, obviously, if you're going to buy other tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that it gives fans a sense of, you know, what the market's doing, how the Packers are faring as far as the fan interest goes.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like Detroit coming in this week. Expensive.
Yeah. As it should be.
Right.
It's a great game.
It's a big game.
Yeah. It's going on as we speak. Rich, with all that non-football, right? So we got football, non-football. The Packers utilize that, the facility that they built. I mean, the atrium, I've had many events there. I've been to many events there. They even lease out the skyboxes for certain things.
They do. I mean, they use the stadium, you know, every way they can. I once joked to Bob Harlan, if you're standing up in the upper part there in the atrium and you look down, the canopies above the doors don't have any advertising on them. And I said, you know, you're missing an opportunity there.
But. Yeah, they charge you for the air you breathe. But, yeah, those events, do you work – you work with the stadium board, too, a little bit. Talk of concerts, do you talk about that? I mean, I saw Billy Joel there, Paul McCartney, but, boy, those are few and far between.
They are, and I've talked to the Packers about it and stadium board. They're just not as easy to arrange as I think people sometimes think they are. Part of it is because, unlike some other stadiums like Soldier Field, they will hold concerts later in the year, in July and August and whatever. The Packers' lease is such that they don't have to do anything there after end of June, basically. Yeah. So if you're going to find a traveling concert that will fit into the window that they have available, which is essentially February to mid-June.
The Stones don't want to play in February?
Yeah, it's amazing that you can't get anybody up here.
But again, I would get back to, but what they did do successfully is they brought the NFL draft here. And the economic impact, and you think we can handle this, and there's going to be well over 250,000 people here. And I know that's what they thought they had in Detroit and I think Kansas City. I think we're more comparable to Kansas City. But the Packers is just so unique.
They are. And I think that's part of what sold them, the NFL, on coming here. I mean, when the networks come here, they always have so much complimentary things to say about Lambeau Field and Green Bay generally. And the NFL knows that.
And the time I spent in office, I'd get so many letters that this was like a bucket list thing.
Right.
Like,
And we have a reputation here, too, for when visiting fans come, our fans treat them well.
Yeah, they do.
And that also reverberates. And I think if you talk to Brad Toll at the Tourism Commission, that's what they're looking forward to from the draft, is that all these people are going to come here. They're going to be treated really well. They're going to have a good time. And that's going to keep reverberating for years to come in terms of them drawing in all kinds of meetings and conventions and such.
So the draft is coming in April, which is soon. I mean,
very soon.
It really is. I mean, we're going to have, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we're going to get into the playoffs, Super Bowls in February, and all of a sudden it's going to be, whoa, Right. Next month is the 2 months is the draft. What things do you think this community needs to do to get ready? And you've been to drafts too, right?
Actually, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. All right.
And
perhaps because that's cheap.
It'd be nice, but
okay, whatever. Any concerns you have as some guy who covers the Packers from a business standpoint every day?
I think that the toughest thing they're going to have to do is just make everybody who's going to be a participant in this know what's going on. You know, the NFL, and we've talked to Detroit people in particular at the Detroit newspaper because we're part of the same organization. And the NFL can be a little slow sometimes in telling you what's going on. Yeah. And I worry that might be a problem for people to be as ready as they want to be. But I think the Packers are going to push that, and because they want the neighborhood people in particular, because they're going to have to park a lot of cars, or they're going to have the opportunity to. They want the businesses around Lambeau to be ready for this, because you know you want a good impression. There's going to be a lot of people to feed and give drinks to and what have you. This is going to be like three straight Packers games, 3 days in a row. And that's pretty busy.
That's a lot of busy. I mean, you look at the security alone. You look at the volume of food you go through on a Packer game. And I think it's funny, Nashville, the only time they ever ran out of beer was when it was that.
Packer fans, of course.
But, I mean, yeah, you got to get that supply chain down. Cause...
And there's the restaurants and hotels here, particularly in wake of COVID, have been having as much trouble as anybody else hiring enough people to right. do all the jobs. And so they're going to have to find ways to manage that.
Little self-promotion here. The first Sunday of the month, we dedicate toward the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers. In the next month, we're going to talk about how to get your bartending license, how to get your Uber license, because I think there's going to be great opportunity for people.
How to get your short-term rental license.
Yes. We have that guy coming on.
Yeah. That's going to be a big part of all of this.
And there's going to come a time where if you call them in March, they're going to be like, no.
Right. You need to be planning.
And people ahead. Come over and do the inspection. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. But so again, you as a guy that covers it, you have any concerns? I understand the flow of information is a huge concern, but everybody's going to be looking to you.
I think the biggest concern I have is just people finding places to stay. My understanding is the NFL has scooped up about 80% of all the hotel rooms mm-hmm. in town already mm-hmm. for their massive organization and the networks and what have you. So there's not going to be a relatively lot of hotel rooms here.
No.
The short-term rental folks are going to take up a bunch of that. There's going to be some campgrounds available. But it's going to be like the LSU game or the Ryder Cup. They're going to be spread from here to Madison and Milwaukee.
Right. I mean, Elkhart Lake.
Wausau.
Right. But I hope people, and we'll talk about, when we come back, I want to just talk about more what the Packers are doing and what you think they should do, and a little bit more on how we can showcase our city, our community on the world stage for 4 days. But again, I just want to say that the first Sunday of December, if your kid's away at college, you could rent out that room. I mean, it's up to you to do it, but if you want people in your house,
right.
But I just think there's some great opportunities for people to make a little cash. And I just hope people really do that. We're going to be right back. But the NFL, you're working with the people over at Detroit. They're giving you some.
We've talked to them.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I hope we're doing. I hope Eric's doing that, too, because I think you can always learn. And I think that went great. I think all the drafts have gone great. But maybe there's just a little something that didn't get out in the press that they could say, why don't you do this? And I hope we're doing that.
The Packers have been to the draft for like the last six years.
Right.
So I think I have a pretty good handle.
That's going to be awesome. Can't wait. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local Jim Schmidt. We are here with our very special guest, Rich Ryman, Green Bay Press Gazette, who focuses all his writing on the Green Bay Packers. If I stopped, it would make the show. Can't keep up with my rhythm, though. They keep trying too quick for the lines they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. The Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. This is the first Sunday of the month where we dedicate our show, as much as we want to lean local on politics and everything else that's going on, we really talk about the NFL draft and the Green Bay Packers. And no one better than Rich Ryman, who is a reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette, that focuses on really the non-football operations of the Green Bay Packers, everything from land acquisition, NFL draft, new businesses that the Packers do create, and other businesses that they partner with. A couple things, because we don't have as much time as I would like, but other stuff going on in the news too. The lease.
The lease I've reported on several times.
I know.
That's a big deal. I think it's a big deal for both sides. I mean, certainly the Packers think it's a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. The lease doesn't expire for 8 years, but the collective bargaining agreement does expire in 7, and the Packers just want to have this stuff locked in place because they're always thinking 25 steps ahead.
Exactly. I was wondering what the impetus was for bringing that up. I know it's another 8 years. It's like, really? Why do we have to talk about this today? There's so much else going on. I mean, not that the city has a lot going on too, right? I mean, the public market they're working on, they've got their budget that they're going to start working on. And then this lease thing came up, and that makes sense. They'd like to get ahead of it before the collective bargaining starts. Okay.
I think, you know, that's part of it. I think if with the NFL has proven that having a salary cap and revenue sharing is very good for the league. I mean, it's definitely benefited from that. But they also don't know when all of that may change. It's not set in stone that that's going to be the way the NFL operates for the end of eternity. You're getting private equity firms that are buying into teams now.
Right.
And these are people who are not going to have necessarily the best interests of the NFL at heart. Yeah. So I think the Packers are trying to prepare themselves for as many eventualities as they can.
Interesting. And I think that will get resolved. I don't, as much as you're writing a lot of ink on that, I wish it wouldn't be in the press.
They say that too. They often say we don't want to, you know, negotiate this in public just before they start negotiating it in public. But and that's both sides.
It is. All right. So the other thing that is in the news with the Packers, non-football, is this Heritage Trail. And I know you worked on that, and you know Cliff Crystal pretty well, I'm sure.
Cliff and I have talked a lot of times.
Yeah. You know?
And that's not. It's not connected to the lease, but it's also not separate from it right now because it's just part of the animosity between the two sides.
They're not tied together at all. They just coincidentally came up at the same time.
Well, yeah. I mean, to the extent that the Packers and the city apparently were going to get together again on September 19th and kind of start feeling each other out on some lease stuff. Unfortunately, the day before the Packers filed the lawsuit on the Heritage Trail movement. And I think the mayor was offended by that, and he called off the talks.
Yeah.
And so now we're back where we were before, which is neither side talking to each other, at least that we know of.
So as a guy who reported it, the Heritage Trail, Packer Plaza, Packers, it's funny, the Packers are suing to keep it there.
Right.
I think that's kind of cool that some people think, ugh, anything they can bring out to Lambeau Land or to Titletown, they're going to bring out there. And here we got $1 million investment that, like, no, we want it to stay there. I think that's great they're doing that. I want that to stay there, right? I mean, I worked on that when back in 2010, 11, 12.
Well, there's a hearing Wednesday in circuit court, and because the Packers have mm-hmm. asked that it at least stay there till something is resolved, okay. The city not move it. The city in its lawsuit threatened to pack it all up and store it somewhere and charge the Packers for the privilege. The Packers' argument is that this is where the city told us to put it originally.
That would be me.
We spent, $1 million putting it there. And if they make us move it now, how many more times are they going to make us move it? The city's standpoint is we can get this really good downtown housing development there, and the developers want it to be moved, or at least the city does. So those are the two sides, okay. Basically.
And I think you can do both. All right. Hey, back to the NFL draft. A coup to get that here. You, as a reporter who covers non-football operations, don't have any major concerns. The only big concern you have is make sure the flow of information is getting to who it needs to get to.
That's my immediate concern because it's my job. Beyond that, we have handled football games here 10 times a year, every year, 80,000 people show up. I mean, more people show up for these games than actually have tickets a lot of times. We're used to people coming from outside because the Akon report that was done, I mean, it's old now, but there's no reason to think that some of the parts of it have changed. They said 80%+ of people come from 50 miles or away or farther to each game. So, I mean, we're used to having people come in to the community from outside, bringing their dollars with them, hopefully.
Well, sure, they got to spend the night.
Right.
And that's why I think this whole leasing out your home, renting out your home, renting out a room, I just think, and people are going to, they're going to come here with money in their pocket.
Which is what we definitely want.
Well, and think about it, Rich. You know, how much are Packer tickets? I mean, you cover that, but $150, $100.
Oh, they're, I mean, face value is like $150 to $179. I think it's in that range. If you're buying on secondary market, they generally are more.
And for a guy that's been covering the NFL draft, tell our listeners, it's free.
Right. Yes, the NFL lets you into their area.
Right.
You might have to get sign up for tickets,
right.
But they don't cost you
right.
anything.
Right. It's free to see that. So bring your money and just spend it in our local community.
Right.
All right. Hey, I want to get you back as we get closer to the NFL draft, but just thanks for covering all you do. I find your writing really interesting because I love football, but I love the non-football as well. We follow you. We buy your paper at the Press Gazette. Where else can we follow you?
I'm online at PackersNews.com or GreenBayPressGazette.com.
All right. You're awesome, Rich. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Fun. All right. Thanks for all you're doing to cover a huge entity here in the city of Green Bay and greater Green Bay community, actually statewide. Thanks for listening. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Our special guest, Rich Ryman from the Green Bay Press Gazette. We will see you next Sunday. Lean Local.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Jelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matinee on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.